Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio program where you can take control of the airwaves.
Please do.
Talk about whatever is on your mind. The telephone number, if you would like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's
Steve Classic
and
Mark Edge,
and I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Before we go on with tonight's show, I want to say thank you to Steve Smith. Steve Smith is an amplifier for Free Talk Live. What on earth does that mean?
Amps.
Well, it means Steve enjoys the program. He enjoys the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics, the content, the listeners, the callers.
Callers, yeah.
He enjoys the message of freedom that we bring to the air. We are unique in this particular market where we are the only libertarian-themed call-in radio talk show that I'm aware of, unless that's changed, Mark.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah. So he thinks it's worth $5 a month because he's a silver level amplifier. We only ask for $5. You can give more if you like. Over at amps.freetalklive.com. It's a bit of a Patreon type setup, so you get some little perks, some little benefits if you do amplify. AMPS stands for advertise, marketing, promoting, and supporting. And so amps.freetalklive.com is the site you need to go to if you want to join Steve Smith in becoming an amplifier. We're on, Mark, you said around 180, 200 radio stations.
Thereabouts.
Thereabouts. Yeah. We could be on 250, 300 radio stations. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. Please consider becoming an amplifier by visiting amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Steve Smith. We appreciate you.
And if you distribute toilet paper and you want to sponsor the number two story on Sunday nights, contact Mark.
Mark at freetalklive.com.
Yes, indeed.
So we were talking about this article from WGNTV.com out of Chicago, where in Libertyville, Illinois, the parents of a toddler are suing Volkswagen because someone hijacked, knocked down the mother in a parking lot, knocked her down. The two-year-old was in the car. They stole the car and ran over the mother. She lived, but she had injuries to her extremities and her pelvis. And then the police apparently got involved. According to Shepard, when she went to retrieve her two-year-old son from the car, an assailant pulled up behind her and knocked her to the ground. According to the lawsuit, the assailant stole the Volkswagen with the two-year-old inside, and that's when he ran her over. She called 911, and first responders arrived. The lawsuit claims a deputy from the Lake County Sheriff's Office contacted Volkswagen and requested GPS tracking location data and explained that it's extremely exigent, the circumstances, that the situation was life or death. However, the deputy was informed that the vehicle's free trial period for the CarNet services had expired and that a subscription of $150 was required before the location of the vehicle could be provided.
I think Volkswagen might be in the right, even though they should have said, yeah, we could do this as a life or death situation, but they have every right to say we can't do that.
Yeah, I think that they have the right to do it. I think that it was unwise of them to do it, that this would be one of those circumstances at the very least where they could avoid bad press quite possibly have gotten some good press out of the deal. And, you know, I don't think that anybody should be forced to give up their services for free, but I think it looks bad. Now, I would like to point out that there is not a lawsuit against the Libertyville County Sheriff's Department for allowing this to happen. Now, this taxpayer presumably pays some amount of money that goes to the sheriff's department every single month.
Yep.
And this terrible thing happened, and no one thought for a second, hey, maybe I should sue the cops for not providing protection for me. Because, you know, that's what we'd be told is in, you know, in the absence of a county-funded sheriff's department, it would be anarchy. People would be getting their cars stolen all the time.
You mean chaos?
Well, here you are. The car got stolen, and the police could only call, ring, ring, hey, you know, profit-making auto manufacturer, why don't you give away your services for free so we can get this kid back? Well, why didn't you do your job in the first place and help these people?
And also, too, since taxation is collected under duress, that is, by force, by coercion, I am surprised that for these, how do they say, exigent circumstances, I'm surprised that they don't have something like a police department credit card.
Or debit
card. So that, if police are there to protect and serve, we know they're not. But let's just say that's what you think, right? Why wouldn't they have just busted out their wallet and been like, sure, here's $150, tell me where the damn car is.
Right, on the county credit card.
Yeah.
To put it in the expense account or something like that. Yeah. Well, they're complicit in the crime.
So anyway, the deputy was informed that, you know, you cannot pass unless you've paid.
All right.
The family said the automaker's demand for payment and refusal to cooperate with police delayed the search for their abducted child and caused Shepherd and her husband extreme emotional distress. The family remains in therapy over the incident, lawyers add. Now, I do want to say...
So we can run that bill up. One last comparison sure. I'd like to make is that if... Let's say you had a parking lot at a business,
okay,
and you decided to pay for security at your parking lot,
mm-hmm,
and then you got carjacked at the parking lot where you're trying to get in.
Yep.
Would you not be able to hold the security company liable for that situation? And if that's so, because I'm pretty sure you can, you certainly can hold them liable. If that is so, then are the police officers, excuse me, in this case, sheriff's department, because I believe it's unincorporated Libertyville.
Right.
So it's the county of something. Lake County, I think they said.
Yes.
So it's Lake County Sheriff's Department. Are they not responsible for that entire area, just as the security guards would be for a parking lot? Have we not paid them to do this? And why is it that we, in our own minds, hold the security company and the parking lot responsible, we don't hold the police department responsible? Now, I'm not saying the police department is full of bad people. I think quite the opposite. But I don't think that security guards are a bunch of bad people either. I just think that if you do not hold people responsible for their behavior, you will get irresponsible behavior every single time, because that's how people work.
Yeah, the same comparison can be made for things like roads, right? That's always a common retort from the statist, roads. For example, on my first attempt to leave Washington State and move to New Hampshire, I didn't make it. I hit black ice in eastern Washington and flipped my vehicle and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Now, I ended up getting a ticket from the state police there for driving with wheels off the roadway.
I'm speechless.
In my mind, that's flying, and like if anybody's going to find me, it should be like the FAA.
Right. They own space.
But so, you know, because they could, and the likelihood of me fighting that ticket was low because, you know, I was obviously packed up heading out of state.
Right.
That's the ticket I got. Now, I hit black ice on a road which is paid for and to be maintained by tax money.
That is you.
So the road was obviously not in any condition to be driven upon. In theory, I should be able to hold the state, the road department, whatever that is, liable for not closing the road because it was dangerous, or not salting the road, or not de-icing the road, or some, you know, because if they're responsible for making the road safe, when the road isn't safe, I should be able to hold them responsible, no?
Yeah, they're responsible for keeping it safe or unsafe in this case.
Well, that's why they gave you the ticket, so that they could make you responsible, not them.
So, flipping back to the story now, the family here said the automaker's demand for payment and refusal to cooperate with police delayed the search for their abducted child and caused Shepherd and her husband extreme emotional distress, and they remain in therapy. I want to say this about when you call some of these places, you do end up, your call ends up going to, and I'm assuming these things, I have no evidence of this, I'm assuming this call went into a call center.
Right.
And I'm assuming this call center was staffed with not customer service people, not, you know, 911 responders, but with salespeople, because this is generally what these corporations will do. And the whoever the person was that they got, their paycheck probably depended on them making X amount of sales in a given time period, a week, a month, whatever it is.
And I'm assuming that they were not in a zip code in the United States. Just guessing.
Right. I'd be my guess, too, that these, you know, they were trying to sue Volkswagen for making a few bucks by having a Filipino, you know, call center.
Right, yeah. And so
he doesn't have any ability to look this up without somebody having a membership.
Right.
Well, you got a membership or you don't have a membership. Right. How am I going to move this on?
Can we sell you a membership?
No one said what to do in the case of somebody having an abducted baby. Right?
That wasn't covered in their training. Right. Yeah. They didn't have a day on, like, okay, what to do when somebody calls because their car was hijacked with a kid in it.
Sell them a subscription. Yeah. Half price.
So they probably put the whoever the police on hold and went and talked to their McManager or whatever. Right. And were like, hey, I got this call. They're like, yeah, you can look that up, but it won't unlock until they've paid the fee, right? There's probably some access thing there, is my guess. But I don't know any of this for a fact. It's not covered in the story.
Mm-hmm. Right. As soon as the payment clears, some electronic switch gets flipped and
yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to, jinx old Volkswagen here, but I would say that the most likely outcome is that Volkswagen's lawyers look at this and say, jawohl, Hans, who thought of this? Right? we're screwed here.
Yeah, somebody's probably losing their job.
You know, they're like, well, we're going to send him a check because... You know, somebody start negotiating because this is what we got going on, and there's just nothing that can be done. They're gonna have to pay.
It sounds to me like when it comes to their general operations and customer service, Volkswagen has a bug in their system. Bug? Volkswagen bug, Mark? No? Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
He says with, like, no emotion whatsoever. That's funny. That's funny. For what Isaiah has been through, this is Mrs. Shepherd speaking. For what Isaiah has been through, I think this is the least I can fight for, she said, of the reason they're seeking monetary compensation. In a statement released last February, Volkswagen said it has a procedure in place with a third-party provider for CarNet support services to help with emergency requests from law enforcement. Unfortunately, in this instance, there was a serious breach of the process.
Aha. The process.
Aha. So my theory is
so it's a third party that's doing their GPS tracking.
Right. And so they apparently have something in place for, you know, if law enforcement calls, do this. And whoever they got through to didn't do that thing for whatever reason. Yeah. Or the phone tree rerouted them to a different place or whatever.
Right.
But now Volkswagen has to pay, not the company that's handling the thing. Volkswagen has to go after them, and they're just going to shut down shop in the Philippines. Right. And that's that. Sorry, I don't mean to go after the Philippines here, but there are a lot of call centers there.
There are. It's true. So that's where we're at. Apparently You know, pay your subscription.
Now, how would they know that it's the police department calling? This is so-and-so sergeant, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know enough about that to
I've certainly gotten some calls myself from Sergeant whoever, right?
Yeah.
Doing the same thing, and I'm like, prove it.
Well, right.
You know, how do they prove it? You know, they can't.
Well, my badge number, I can make up a number, too. Yeah.
What's your name right here?
Sergeant Stadenko.
Don't have any system for dealing with this.
Wow. They must have some code word or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why don't I call the switchboard at the police department, and you tell me your extension, and I'll call you right back.
Yeah, that's probably
that's
it.
That's the best I got.
Right. We'll call you back.
Yeah. So there you have it. Volkswagen being sued.
Yep.
The people's car.
The people's car.
Isn't that the translation?
Volkswagen?
Yeah. People's.
I'm old. Steve, you're old. Mark, you're old. If I'm old, well, you know,
you're getting old.
Getting old.
This is the,
it's
over,
the alternative.
It's the over 50 club here. I remember still to this day just how illegal marijuana was compared to what it is today, depending on the state you live in.
Yes.
Some places it's still completely illegal.
Like
other places, it's decriminalized in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So you can have it. You can smoke it. You can walk downtown Keene, New Hampshire, smoking a joint.
Nobody's just like everybody else does.
Yeah, nobody's going to do anything or say anything to you. It's fine.
It's decriminalized, but you still can't buy it.
Right. There's no what New Hampshire hasn't done is followed in the footsteps of all the other states who allow the states to dictate the way it is going to be sold. So New Hampshire has just said, we're going to make it the lowest prosecutable offense, so
right.
Meaning they're never going to prosecute. I mean, they can still write you a ticket for it, but like the odds of you getting prosecuted for it are so
I always
low
know when I'm driving through Massachusetts, like behind a car, it's like, oh, I'm in Massachusetts. Smell.
Now, if I'm curious, though, if you can't grow it in your backyard, then you can't really produce it. And
right.
So it's not legal to grow it in your backyard. Is that also the lowest prosecutable situation? So
there's
because marijuana doesn't fall out of the sky, even in New Hampshire.
Sometimes it rolls up on shore. So I've been told.
I had that happen in Honduras. So I've got pictures to prove it.
So
wow.
I've been told. But what I'm really getting at here is that over the course of time, the illegalness of marijuana has been reduced within the United States by a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
However, this from dailymail.co.uk. A California woman who stabbed boyfriend 108 times and killed him is a do-gooding, mentally well girl who suffered weed-induced psychosis, according to psychiatrist testimony.
You knew it was coming.
Oh, wow.
So, Mark, which is the... So, psychology and psychiatry, which is the phony?
Well, neither are phony, but a psychiatrist can prescribe drugs. A psychologist talks to you about your problems.
All right. I just wanted to...
Talks to you about your prescription.
I just wanted to know which one we're doing. We're dealing with psychiatry here in this particular article. It is an unimaginably gruesome crime, an example of human violence at its most extreme. In May 2018, Bryn Spiker of Thousand Oaks, California, picked up a bread knife and stabbed her new boyfriend 108 times, killing him.
A dull bread knife? Like a butter knife?
Is
bread
a
knife? Well,
knife?
No, maybe it's
bread
like one of these. It sounds appointed, and it's probably just serrated bread. It's like hard bread.
Bryn, it's spelled S-P-E-J-C-H-E-R. I'm pronouncing it Spiker. It's probably wrong. She picked up a bread knife and stabbed her new boyfriend 108 times, killing him, before turning the blade on her dog.
Whoa. That was some tough weed, huh?
The 32-year-old who worked as an audiologist then proceeded to stab herself, only stopping when police hit her 9 times with a baton.
Whoa!
Now,
that's psychosis, I think.
Now, I have smoked a bunch of weed in my life.
Just one bunch.
I've had edibles. I did a gravity bong in a bathtub with the gravity bong made out of one of those big blue 5 gallon jugs of water, you know. And like, I mean, I thought I was gonna pass out, and I had uncontrollable pot laugh for like a half hour. But
you probably had access to knives.
But I never once did I pick up a knife and try to stab somebody,
or
much less
a
dog or myself. Now,
I'm fine. Look, if they want to go ahead and say pot-induced psychosis, fine. The question I have is if a drunk driver is responsible for their actions of getting into a car and killing somebody, if a person who drinks a beer and then decides to go and shoot up a liquor store is responsible for their actions, is not this lady responsible for her actions?
Yeah, she was on pot.
Good question.
She chose to smoke the pot.
But it sounds like it might have been laced with something. Well, who knows? Toxicology will...
That's the risk you take when you... I mean, any bottle of liquor, what if it's laced with something? So what? You're still responsible.
Right.
On Friday, Spiker was convicted of killing her boyfriend, Chad Omelia, then 26, and is awaiting sentencing. However, testimony from an expert witness called by the prosecution, seen exclusively by DailyMail.com, paints a vastly different picture of the perpetrator than the story would initially suggest. Forensic psychiatrist and expert witness Dr. Chris Mahandy, he's got Handy as part of his last name, Dr. Chris Mahandy, told the jury last month that Spiker was a normal girl with no history of mental illness or violence, who was committed to doing good in the world. The fateful night that her brain was completely overtaken by extreme psychosis, induced by potent marijuana that had been supplied by her boyfriend, he said.
Oh.
In testimony from Spiker herself, the healthcare professional said she'd smoked weed only a few times before and had never been high, quote unquote.
Now, this is in California, right?
California.
So do they have legalized pot sales that you could? We wonder, like, did the boyfriend buy it from the state or from the local dealer?
Right, yeah. Did he get it from a street dealer, or did he get it from a state-sanctioned pot shop?
Right, right.
In testimony, we already covered that. Her attack was launched because she had, quote, lost touch with reality, unquote, as the cannabis had triggered voices in her head.
Voices in her head.
Okay. Now, again, I've smoked a lot of marijuana in my time. I partied. I played in bands. All that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And never once have I heard voices in my head as a result of marijuana.
Mm. I think it was probably, there must have been something else in that. I don't know what other drug would have been in there.
This sounds like PCP.
Oh.
Is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it sounds like.
But I'm wondering if the boyfriend gave it to the girlfriend to just, like, freak her out or something like that. And it went the wrong way.
We'll find out more about what happened here. Mark, did you have something?
Yeah, certainly not. There's certainly no PCP-laced pot that was bought legally.
We'll find out more about what happened in this story coming up here on Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160 if you would like to join us. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The president and CEO of Save the Children says it's impossible for her staff in Gaza to work in a safe and quality way.
So we're really running out of words to describe how bad it is.
Yonti Soripto said on CBS's Face the Nation, humanitarian organizations cannot safely deliver aid because of attacks and shelling. Gas prices in Texas remain the lowest in the country.
According to AAA, the average price for a gallon of regular gas in Texas is $2.63. California drivers are paying the highest prices, with unleaded regular averaging $4.72 a gallon.
Actor Ryan O'Neal has died. O'Neal was nominated for Best Actor Oscar in 1970 for his role in Love Story and was nominated for a Golden Globe for his 1973 film Paper Moon, which also starred his daughter Tatum O'Neal. Ryan O'Neal died Friday afternoon at the age of 82. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
I think they know.
Oh, and we're back.
I think. If only there was some way we could let the listeners know
when we're back.
When we were back. If there was some sort of rootiness thing that we could vamp on every time.
Some
that
intro we return, music. And we'd like, just say,
yeah, we could make a
back.
Song and dance out of it
yeah,
somehow.
And we're back.
If only there were some way for us to do that.
I'll come up with something by next week.
come up with something. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Mark Edge.
You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th Annual Fork Fest.
8th Annual Fork
Eighth
Fest.
8th Annual. Wow. At Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Forkfest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. Forkfest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Forkfest is decentralized, which means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms and the ForkFest forum. Links to all of those can be found at ForkFest.party. We hope to see you there, June 13th through the 16th, ForkFest.party. Last year was a particularly fun ForkFest for me. There was a wedding, Matt and Nikki.
Mm-hmm. You were fork and pork.
I was, yes, yeah. And I'll be doing the same this year. Mm-hmm. I already got everything, you know, reserved.
Ready to go.
Kind of thing, ready to go. So the wedding was a big to-do. Great time, lots of people, you know, partying afterwards. The reception was killer.
Porkfest.party.
Yes. And then on what I call Porkfest Eve, that is the last day of Porkfest, the Sunday night, I released a three-song EP. And I had exclusive on the USB stick, cards, branded specifically for ForkFest and PorkFest. Mm-hmm. You know, we packed a military tent with, you know, 30 or so people. I was able to premiere my music videos for the three songs, and I played along with guitar, so it was a bit of a live performance to go along with the videos kind of a thing. I had a great time. And if you missed out on that, you can, of course, still get the EP over at CaptainKickass.com. I also have T-shirts and, you know, the normal
merch
stuff for sale. I have a bundle, actually, that includes the EP on a USB card and download, all three music videos, all the lyrics. There's some bonus features on it as well.
Signed?
You get a T-shirt. No, I didn't sign them. I could sign them, I guess. But you get a T-shirt. The EP, plus all the bonus features, all the videos, all the lyrics, all that stuff, and two packs of Captain Kickass branded rolling papers, all for $40. It's called the Kickass Bundle. You can go to CaptainKickass.com. You can find it there.
Do you think you would be liable if they rolled that pot in California with your rolling papers?
Mm. Mm. Only if they were in a Volkswagen.
That's bugging me.
Did we say who we are? We came back from the break.
Yeah,
we did all that. Okay.
Yeah, we did.
We were talking about this article from dailymail.co.uk. A California woman who stabbed her boyfriend 108 times and killed him.
With a bread knife. A bread knife.
Is a do-gooding, mentally well girl who suffered from weed-induced psychosis, according to psychiatrist testimony. In the testimony from Spiker herself, the healthcare professional said she'd smoked weed only a few times before and had never been high. Her attack was launched because she had lost touch with reality as the cannabis had triggered voices in her head. Dr. Mohandy warned, people with no prior history of violence can consume cannabis even during one session and then proceed to commit acts of physical violence to themselves and to others.
This feels like the 80s.
I mean... Yeah, where is, did they show a copy of, did they screen a copy of, what's it called? What's the movie?
Crack is Whack?
No, it's the 70s
oh,
movie.
Reefer Madness?
Reefer Madness, yeah. Did they screen that in the courtroom for the jury? Did they bust out the 1960s propaganda about, marijuana
will
make you want to have sex with people of the other color?
Mm-hmm.
They did. Like, go look it up. I'm not even lying.
This stuff exists.
Other psychiatrists for the defense said they were 100% certain that the attack was caused by weed.
100%. Wow.
Well, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That would be like saying, you know, somebody drank too much tequila and you know, got violent. That the attack was caused by tequila. It was helped.
Yeah, it was helped. You know, maybe not 100%, but maybe 50%.
And Mark does have a point. Like, if you're going to hold people like that responsible for their actions, then that should hold true here.
Right.
Let's find
out. And I'm not suggesting that people who drink alcohol shouldn't be held to, for responsible for their actions. I think they should.
Right.
I think that, you know, this is, it, you know, it all comes down to, I don't think prisons are very good at solving the problems that we think prisons solve. I, in fact, think that they are bad at it. In fact, make people worse at committing violent crimes. That prisons should be reserved for people who are dangerous to members of society, and that's really it. I don't know whether this girl would stab anybody else. That's somebody else's business to figure out. But It sounds like she could. I mean, can we keep her away from weed from here on out? I don't know.
108 times she stabbed the guy, and then she stabbed her dog, and then she stabbed herself.
Right. Oh, wait, and then the cops batoned her.
To get her to stop. That sounds to me more like something like PCP. Perhaps
it sure does.
There's more to this story. Perhaps we'll get to it. Dr. Mohandy, who has seen at least a half dozen cases like this one. So
really?
Six.
In California.
Used his position to stand to warn against widespread legalization of the psychoactive drug. It's yet another drug that now people think is safe because it's legal, and now more people are trying it. But it's more potent than it's ever been, and it's problematic, said Dr. Mohandy, who has testified in 80 cases before, including several involving marijuana. So this guy is making money now by testifying in these
expert
cases.
Expert witness, it costs $10,000 a day to get
right,
by.
Exactly. So people say, it's just marijuana, and they try it, and make it seem like it's insignificant, and how could that possibly happen? Well, that doesn't really fit with my professional experience. Spiker's behavior is well documented, in my opinion, of psychosis. I'm not disagreeing that there was some psychosis. There obviously is some psychosis going on here. Mm-hmm. We can find out more about this story, but first let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We have an unscreened caller calling. What's your name, please? You're on the air.
Hey, this is Rusty from Portland.
Hey, Rusty. What's on your mind? You're on the air.
Well, it's good to hear Mark on the show again.
Thanks, Rusty.
I thought a few people might enjoy that.
Yeah, I was wondering, have you considered coming back to the show like one night a week, maybe?
Well, at this point, we've got to figure out how to do that. I've certainly considered it, but we've got to figure out how to schedule things and that kind of thing. I'm not going to kick anybody out of their seat.
Well, we have some things coming up that may allow, you know, more of that to happen. So my hope is that we can get Mark on. You know, I don't know if we'll have like any sort of regular cadence, but at least more than, you know, once a year.
Right.
Because yeah, I'm with you. I think he deserves to be on this show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with Ian gone, we kind of need Mark, to be honest. You're half of the soul of the show, and without you, it's missing something.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's that hairdo.
I hope, at least I got hair, buddy.
No, that's what I mean, man. Like, it's missing the hairdo, man.
It's a hairdo.
I got a hair don't, man. although in my defense, I can wake up from napping on the couch and look shower.
That's true. So. Right. Absolutely. Mine's going to be smashed to the side.
Why do you think I'm wearing a hat?
I also had a question for Captain Kickass.
Okay.
So you were saying, well, you said this several times, that you don't vote because you feel like voting is a violation of the non-aggression principle because you're trying to enforce your preference on others.
Correct.
Right? Well, what if you know that a certain candidate is highly more likely to cause death or imprisonment to you or others? Like, don't... I feel like you should feel morally obligated to at least try to prevent that death and imprisonment with a stroke of a pen if you can, if there's a candidate less likely to kill you.
Has the situation you're describing ever happened?
Well, let's say the war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the war on drugs is actively targeting, like, if you are someone who, say, smokes marijuana in a prohibition state.
Okay.
Then one candidate is more likely to throw you in a prison cell for it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't voting for the other candidate be an act of self-defense?
And I believe I have said this, and if you missed it, it's okay. I'm happy to say it again. There is an argument to be made that you can vote in self-defense. I don't subscribe to that because I still think that I'm still forcing my opinion on somebody else or my preference on somebody else, or they're forcing their preference on me. Either way, force is involved, and so I choose not to participate in that particular act.
But the non-aggression principle says that you are allowed to use force if force has been initiated upon you.
In self-defense, yes. So that's why I maintain that that argument is a valid argument. However, I choose not to participate because I still feel like I'm violating the I'm using force upon other people. I would rather other people come around to the ideas of liberty and freedom of their own voluntary volition than use force on people.
Okay,
to do so.
So what if they do come around to the ideas of liberty of their own volition? It's not going to matter because if they agree with you, they're not going to vote.
Well, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily. There are plenty of people who listen to me on this show and on Beard Talk Live and who know me in person, who have listened to me, who go, yeah, you know what, I agree with you, but I'm still voting.
Okay.
So, like, it's a personal choice, really, the way I look at it. I kind of look at voting in the same way I look at abortion, right? I don't, for a minute, pretend that I know what's best for another individual. Whether or not another individual or a couple that I know wants to have an abortion or doesn't, or they have an argument about it, like, I'm not getting in that because, well, it's none of my business. It's their business. It's their personal choice. It's their, they have to live with their decision, right? It's none of my business. Now, I feel the same way about voting. This is my personal preference. I've stated my reasons why it is that way. However, that doesn't mean that I don't support people who are trying to forward freedom, liberty, who are trying to get rid of this behemoth evil known as the state, that its only thing that it uses ever is violence and coercion. That's it. That's the only tool it has in its bag. It doesn't have a variety of tools. It doesn't try and use reason and logic to get its way. The only thing it ever does is forces people one way or the other, depending on the issue. And so I still support people who are trying to do that. That's one of the reasons I support things like the Free State Project, the larger freedom migration that's occurring here in New Hampshire. It's not just the Free State Project that is attracting people here. It's the fact that New Hampshire has some of the fewest laws on the books of any state in the United States. For example, there's no seatbelt law here unless you're, I think, 16 or under. There's no helmet law. I see all the time people driving across from Massachusetts or Vermont or Maine coming across the border. As soon as they get across the border, they take their helmets off and continue their ride because they know they can. They come here specifically for that. So it's not that I don't support other people trying to forward liberty. It's just that my personal preference, I need to feel good about my choices in my life. And if I vote, I know that I'm forcing my opinion on somebody else, or somebody else's opinion is getting forced upon me, and so I choose not to participate in that particular act.
What about, shouldn't you feel bad about, okay, if you have knowledge that you not voting is literally going to cause more pain and
give
harm.
Me an example of that ever happening.
Okay, let's pretend a hypothetical situation. Ron Paul.
That's not what I asked. I asked for an actual example, not a hypothetical one.
Well, I can't pull an actual example out of my butt right now.
So, to your knowledge, then it has never happened.
What if the next governor's race in New Hampshire says, if I'm elected, we're going to secede? Is that a reason to vote for that governor? I will make that day one. We will put that forward. Hey, let the word go forth from this time and place.
I cannot answer that at this time.
Okay. You're not legally required to answer it.
I'll say this much. Captain, I do not agree with your assessment that in any way that voting is a violation of the non-aggression principle, in so much as if you vote for the most libertarian candidate that's on the ballot. Now, I will say it is a violation of the non-aggression principle if you choose willingly to get the most aggressive candidate, the one that wants the biggest government. But I will also say, in your own defense, the likelihood that your vote will make a difference is near nil.
Right.
That if Ron Paul is running for president, let's say he's the youthful Ron Paul, Rand Paul, whatever, I don't care, is running for president and you choose to vote or not vote for him, that will simply not make a difference with New Hampshire's 4 electoral votes, if that hasn't changed, and that, you know, those 4 electoral votes will likely not make a difference either, and that ultimately it just doesn't make a difference. That the instance that the vast majority of people who vote, even every single election, cannot point to an election where their vote, in fact, made a difference. And it's the reason I choose, generally, not to vote. And I would go so much farther as to say, is if you want to make a difference as to who gets into office, you need to do different things. You need to work the polls. You need to donate to campaigns. You need to do any variety of things to get those people elected. That a vote itself is inconsequential.
Well,
and I'll prove it.
Okay.
I'll prove it real quick. Think about any presidential election, any time in history. You can pick any of them, and you can move yourself around the map. You can put yourself in any state. Name to me the election where one vote has separated a president from winning or losing. Now, there was a really close one in Florida, and I didn't, as to my knowledge, I was disallowed legally from voting in that particular election. But, you know, that was still by more than 100 votes.
I mean, I disagree with the premise of voting as a valid decision-making process for communities of people.
What if they voluntarily choose to do that? So,
well,
you know, somebody buys a piece of land and says,
okay,
let's do it.
Okay, do what?
Let's vote to solve our problems.
Well, then I'm no longer part of that community because I would vote for, no, let's not use voting as a mechanism to solve our problems. So here's the thing that maybe I haven't said, and I'll say it here now. There's this phrase that constantly goes around in my head, which is, be the change you want to see in the world.
Oh, I thought it was who'll pave the roads.
No, it's not it.
No.
It's also not, you know, beautiful, large-breasted women don't just fall out of the sky naked every day, you know. It's also not that.
That's not true.
Be the change you want to see in the world. So I want to see a world where the state does not exist, where there is no voting for anybody in any political office. There is no organization of violence and coercion and force. There is no extortion of your life's effort by these organizations. And so I am only acting in that way. I want a world in which these things do not exist. Therefore, I do not play the game of those organizations.
Would you vote for someone who said that? What if you were running for governor, Captain?
Obviously, no. Many people have said, I will throw money at you to run for office, and I have told them no.
You can just throw money at me.
I've told them, yeah, that's fine. if you want to just throw money, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to run.
Make it some cryptocurrency or some gold backs or something like that. Don't throw USD at me. But that, to me, hits me very personally. I am trying to be the change.
A roll of quarters sure would.
Well, that probably knocked me out, really.
It's very personal.
Try not to throw those. So I am trying to at least act as if the world has already changed into that. Right, so people shouldn't have to worry about watching the television and listening to debates and reading through who supports what issue and what issue they don't and watching them flip-flop on live television on their stances of things. People should not have to participate in any of this BS, this crap, this pageantry that the state puts on. It just shouldn't exist at all. People shouldn't have to worry about it at all. It should not exist. And so one of the methods that could very well work to end the state is everybody stop participating.
Right.
Well, if your method includes the word everybody,
right,
then your method isn't going to work.
Right. So
and that's why I say, you know, you got to find a solution.
Well, actually, I think maybe the next presidential election,
so there
might not be any voting. So your wish may come true.
So again,
people will vote.
No, they'll just suspend the election. No one will vote. There is no election this year. For
that
is, how about that?
I would love to see that. Right. I think that once people, as a species,
as a people,
get over the hallucination of authority, that the state can and will be just sort of ignored out of existence. The same way overt slavery was. Okay, there was some legislation that kind of like, you know, helped that along a little bit. But this was a social change, a change in the belief system of people writ large.
Right, people have to outgrow government.
Right. They have to realize that it is an antique, barbaric, certainly unfair, certainly a violent thing that exists.
It's like a legal religion.
Yeah. And so it needs to go away, and I prefer to live my life not participating in anything they put forth.
Period.
All right. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. Did you have anything else to say, Rusty?
No, that's it. Y'all have a good night.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Let's see. Do we have time for one more?
Ew.
Maybe we can get unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, how you doing there?
Hey, I'm good. What's your name?
My name is Yu-Gi-Oh.
Hey, Yu-Gi-Oh. You are live on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. I was just hearing the conversation earlier, bro. And, like, I don't know. My personal opinion is, well, what would you do if, you know, you knocked up a broad? This broad was, like, having health problems. And she was like, yeah, man, like, I'm going to, you know, have this abortion, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you, like, be for that, man? Or, like, what would you tell this woman? Would you smack a bitch up or something?
Oh, I would have to cross that bridge when I came to it, because I've not been in that situation. It's something I would have to give a lot of thought, and hopefully we could communicate and make a decision together, because it takes two people to, you know, birth a child, to conceive, if you will. And so hopefully, if I were to have impregnated somebody, you know, we could communicate and work through it together. However, that being said, that decision seems to be primarily made by the females in this day and age. So if she were like, hey, I'm just going to go do this, I'd be like, well, okay, I guess.
No, men can have babies now.
I guess that's how it's going to be. So.
And you believe in the constitutionality? Like, it's not a concepted human being. Like it's with the 14th Amendment.
No, I think that in this particular subject matter, that I am in agreement with something Peakless Mountaineer likes to say, and that is first breath. Right, I believe that that's when, you know, life consciousness is officially begun. You know, there are some sticky wickets within
that. I have the worst opinion on abortion of anyone you know. I believe that life begins at conception, and I believe that if somebody wants to kill their baby, they should.
Wow.
In fact, we should subsidize them. Because if you're willing to kill your baby for a few bucks, you don't deserve one.
Hey, we are out of time. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Yugi, for the call.
Thank you.
If you missed any part of the show, find us over at freetalklive.com, where the archives are. Thanks, and peace.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you You want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.